Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
You send your children to school to learn math, science, and other courses that help them succeed. But not everything can be learned from books. That's why in-person school is so important in a child's development. When attending school in person, children learn confidence. They learn how to lead, how to make friendships that'll last a lifetime, how to discover and grow. Those are some of the life lessons that only happen in person. To help your child get ready for in-person school, visit readyforschoolaz.org.
Bill Alexander Flightline Mitsubishi is sending you to Las Vegas to see the King, George Strait. All during the month of July, stop by Flightline Mitsubishi on 32nd Street in Yuma and register to win your chance to see George Strait in Las Vegas in August at T-Mobile Arena. Everyone that enters at Flightline Mitsubishi has a chance for a pair of tickets, a $100 gas card, and a chance at a grand prize with upgraded seats and a $250 gas card. Log on to kttifm.com to find out how to get even more chances is it winning?
You run a business where you're the expert. When it comes to your website, it's okay to admit you're not the expert. You know you have no training, certainly don't have the time or money to work on it. You'd rather just use the free social sites and let it be. What if I told you there was a way to solve that problem? FreeWebGuys.com will build you a free website personalized for your business, and all you pay is hosting, marketing on Google, and you get guaranteed leads every month. Go to FreeWebGuys.com and get your free website for your business right now.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hanson.
Good morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson, and I'm in studio here with Mr. Russ Clark. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
So, wonderful Monday morning. We have a great show for you today, the Maricopa County audit. There's been some feedback from that audit and some revelations. We don't know still even if there was 100% confirmation that the voting was irregular, that there was more votes that came in for Trump than Biden, that the Senate would decommission or try to pull back the electoral votes that were submitted for Biden. Essentially, what they're trying to do here is they're trying to find out if there was an irregularity, what we have to do in the future to cure it so we can secure elections and fair elections for the future. And this goes for all parties, Democrat, Libertarian, Republican. So I'm really not sure why there's such a strong push from the Democrats to stop this audit and to try to block it at every turn.
I have a theory.
Okay.
They sense it's going to be some results they don't like. So better off not looking at it.
And the whole idea that this was a conspiracy theory that people would even suggest that the election had some irregularities, that Joe Biden actually did not turn 75,000 votes in between 11 and 12 o'clock on election night, was not just a whole bunch of last-minute mail-in ballots that were validly submitted, that it was actually a result of some bad actors.
They just want to say it's fabrication, it's not true, it's certified, we've already done three audits, don't look at it. Well, we haven't done three complete audits.
No, independent audits.
Well, knowing that, we've done very small. They'll hand-check a few thousand or a few hundred just to see if the machines are working or whatever. Yeah. They say, see, we've done an audit. Yeah, we did an audit, not a forensic audit.
Uh-huh.
Never been done. It's the first one.
So some of the irregularities that came out, or that they're showing now, right now we have to investigate further to see why these irregularities have been caused. But there's two companies that are working to audit this, and it's Cyber Ninjas and also,
I don't know.
Cypher is the other name of the firm.
Yeah, but Cyber Ninjas is enough to scare you. You know, I trust it.
I love the name.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have been, you know, Trust Ninjas.
Maybe we will.
Yeah.
So they did this audit, and what they came up with was that 74,000 mail-in ballots were counted above the amount of ballots that were sent out for people requesting mail-in ballots.
That should be a red flag, like a big deal. And you asked me, what was the total number Biden won by in Arizona? 10,457.
Okay.
So obviously 74,000 is
might change that outcome.
Well, yeah.
What would be interesting to see is what percentage, I think we already know the percentage of mail-in ballots, and especially the last-minute ones that were counted, that went for Biden, there was significantly higher. In fact, it was mathematically impossible for it to be as high as it was.
Yeah, when you have a batch of 1,000 and 1,000 went to Biden, that's pretty high.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Now, for the listeners out there, you may be thinking, okay, listen, these guys are beating a dead horse. Why are we still talking about this 2020 election? We've gone over this. Yes, there's those people that are in the conspiracy camp that, yeah, the election was stolen, and those that believe that, no, that was fair and well done election throughout, and it is what it is. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. What I'm trying to say is election integrity is the last stand here. If we can't certify integrity within the elections, then we're done for. And if we let this slide through, just kind of like we're letting the Facebook issues slide through, that they're not liable for anything that they put up, but they can censor and they can advocate for certain political parties, then we're lost.
We're losing a lot. And as far as this, and there's so many people demonizing somebody that disagrees with it. It's cancel culture. And really, you would think that everyone, when you have a number that's over 50% of the country believes there were problems with this election, well, then it would be incumbent upon 100% to say, let's verify it, put it to bed.
Right.
Nobody wants to verify it on the left. They don't. Well, they fight it.
And this, it hits home pretty closely because we run up into these issues quite a bit. When somebody passes away, the trust that determines who's going to get what, who is in control, there are certain things that happen. Now, the trustee, the person that is going to be managing the assets and distributing them, he's responsible for giving those portions of the trust to all the beneficiaries to, so they can verify that they are getting their fair share under the trust, that they are getting the share that the parent or whoever it is that what created the trust, we call them the trustor, wanted them to have. Now, the only reason or only way that they can do that is if they look at the trust and determine for themselves. And the trustees often ask me, well, do I just pull out these five pages that relate to them? Because that's really all that the law requires. And I say, no, because they're going to think that you're hiding something if you do that. Right. Give them the whole trust. Give them the power of attorney. Give them the will. A lot of those documents won't have application after the decedent has passed away. But we don't want them to feel like they are being kept in the dark. It's as much as the perception of what's going on as to what's actually going on is actually important. So we want them to show that there is absolutely nothing to hide. So we give them the entire trust. They can read it for themselves to understand what they feel that they're entitled to, and then they can point to chapter and verse in the trust as to what they need to receive. And yes, we will provide them an audit of all of the assets and then how their percentage share got distributed out, and that's what we do. Now here, as the American people and who is supposed to be determining the government, we should be demanding the same thing. We are the trustees of this government.
Right.
The government was set up by the founding fathers. They created it and they said, listen, you, the people, you have to verify that you hold the government accountable, that you hold each other accountable to do these things fairly, to follow the rules. And what we're trying to do here with an audit is follow the rules. And I don't see how revealing information could be disputed in good conscience by anybody. I just don't see how, why would we not want to reveal information?
It doesn't, and well, it doesn't make any logical sense. It makes, it's an emotional or political decision, Sean, you know that. To fight it, it's political.
It is. And what's mind-boggling, too, is that they've used every lawful means possible to obtain the information. Yes. And so it's like when you have one law-abiding citizen fighting against somebody else that doesn't care about the laws, you're in a losing battle. You're taking a knife to a gunfight. And what has happened here is they've taken it to the courts. The court said, yes, the Senate can do an audit. Okay, number one, the court agreed with the audit. Number two, they said, provide us the voting tabulation machines. For a long time, they wouldn't. Then they finally provided the voting tabulation machines. So this is the Board of Supervisors of Maricopa County. Now they've said, okay, we need to see why these irregularities have occurred. Provide us the routers. They took it to court. First of all, the Board of Supervisors, who should be cooperating fully with, we think that there have been fair elections. Look through the information as much as you want. You can do that. That's fine. No, they've said, mm-mm, we're not providing the routers. So they went to court. They said, listen, we need these routers. We have the authority under the law to do it.
Right.
So we've issued a subpoena. We want the court to put its stamp of approval on that subpoena. Now, if you or I got a subpoena and the court said, this is a valid subpoena, you must comply, and we did not comply, we would actually go to jail.
Well, you have the marshals raid and take it.
It's an obstruction of justice. Yeah. And it's you're in breach of what the court order is demanding you to do.
Has the court already given an order on the subpoenas?
It has.
I mean on the routers?
Specifically on the router, the subpoena for the router. They've said you must turn those over. And the county officials are like, nope, we're not going to do it. Now, somebody needs to be held accountable here.
Yeah.
Why isn't somebody being fined or being held in contempt of court? Now, when you get held in contempt of court, guess where you get held? County jail.
Right.
And that's persuasive.
And we should have a county jail willing to do that.
Yeah, directs you to do. Yeah. But the county supervisors apparently are not subject to the same rules that the citizens whom they're governing over are subject to.
That's yet to be seen. It's not over.
Well, it's been
a while.
A
long time, I know.
So
things move so too slow.
Yeah. So there's those irregularities. Now, what are their arguments for not turning over the routers?
Well, they say it's a security issue and a breach, which, you know, was looked into by Kelly Ward, and apparently by law, they can't put like the police. The police have come forward and say, well, it'll release sensitive information. But they're not even the same routers.
Not only that. So first of all, their objection was, well, there's going to be information about the criminal justice department, about the health department, you know, people's health records, their criminal records, all of that's going to be out there, and that's going to be a violation of privacy. First of all, even if all those departments, even if the sheriff's department, even if the city police department did use those routers, a router does not contain that information. What you need for that type of information is a hard drive, right? We all know that information takes a large amount of storage capacity.
Sure.
that it holds. A lot of people hold it in the cloud, which is really just a hard drive somewhere over there in Indiana or somewhere else that is storing this data. It's not this small little box that is compiling all this data. That's not what a router does. All a router does is says, oh, you directed me to send information to this person? Great. Now there's a record in there that you, the sender, sent it at 5:18 a.m. to that receiver, and they received it at 5:18 a.m. too. That's all it says. It doesn't say anything about the information.
Except maybe the file size or something, or how much was sent and all that. But those are permanent records. Apparently, they can't be altered.
Right. And if they are altered, obviously there's ways to show how, like, if somebody's gone in and tampered with that. And that's what this whole audit is about, and why people, when they get voting tabulation machines and get routers, they go through apparently, according to the Board of Supervisors, a three-step process to verify that they have not been tampered with and that they are not going to be tampered with during the process of an election. So here's the argument, is we can't give them over to the auditors because when we get them back, we can't verify that they're still good and to be used. Well, if you can't verify that they're still good, then how could you verify that they were good in the first place?
Yeah.
It's like they're not saying that they would be tampered with. They're just saying that there's no way they could verify it.
Well, even on the
and
Dominion.
And that's ridiculous because they are saying, in the first place, we shouldn't have to give them over because we verified that they weren't tampered with. So that we can't, there's no place for the audit to even do an audit because we already verified that they weren't tampered with.
Remember the Dominion machines, there was an argument that they can't be tampered with to do the things that we're accusing them of,
yes.
You know, to cause problems. But yet, now that the county had to turn over the Dominion machines to cyber ninjas, the Secretary of State has said, we don't want them back because they're being tampered with,
yes.
And we can't prove that they're going to be accurate now.
And now...
Well, that's crazy.
Now they're trying to charge it against the Republicans. The Democrats are starting to say, listen, the taxpayers have paid an additional $3 million because they're not going to take those Dominion tabulation machines back.
Right.
And they had to buy new ones, apparently. So they spent $3 million to get new tabulation machines because they won't accept the ones back that they turned over.
For no reason.
If they can't verify that they haven't been tampered with in the first place, they can't.
Well, it doesn't matter. All you have to do is verify they're still functional and working. They do that all the time.
Yes.
That's a routine deal before every election.
And it's Dominion that's saying we have 100% confidence that we can see anything that anybody
right.
would have done to this machine.
Dominion says they no problem. And all that, these machines are leased. They should be able to turn them right back into Dominion.
Right, right. So anyway, that's one issue there. How much time do we have before our break, before I bring up the next issue?
You're already way past.
Oh, okay, yeah. We'll take a break then. This is 560 AM, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Plenty of monsoon moisture means we could get some rain. Not a lot of wet weather, but a slight chance of a thunderstorm today, 107 the high, and a slight chance of a thunderstorm tomorrow and Wednesday as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Listen to 560 KBLU every Friday morning from 8 to 9 for Money Talk. Money Talk, bringing you the latest information and changes in the world of finances, brought to you by the partnerships of Academy Mortgage and Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. That's Money Talk every Friday morning from 8 to 9 on 560 KBLU.
Are you struggling to find quality employees? Tired of placing the same old Sunday classifieds or getting lost in the online job boards and getting the same results? Then you need to call us today at 344-4980 and put radio to work for you. It's fast. Place an ad today and have it on air tomorrow. Whether you're looking for hourly workers or to fill highly specified job descriptions, placing an ad on radio will help you fill these positions quickly. Call 344-4980 today and put radio recruitment to work for you.
Wokeness is destroying America. In just a few months, Biden has taken America from energy independent to gas running out. And now most of us are paying 50 to 75% more at the pump. Arizona, blue ain't your color. This is Dr. Bob Branch with the Power of Fives. Conservative candidates will need an army of volunteers to make this state red again and to defeat wokeness. Please go to thepowerofives.com today to find out how to volunteer.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. We do estate planning. And the reason we do estate planning, well, first, I've got to make a living because I believe in being a productive citizen and contributing to society. And I don't think that wealth redistribution is a role that the government ought to take. So I think there, we need to provide for our families. So that's the way I do it. But as far as the community goes and the people that I serve, I really enjoy what I do because what we do is we try to keep your information, your property, who you want it to go to, not only private, but also very clean and straightforward. So you can understand well in advance that your affairs are in order, and so it helps you sleep well at night. And number two, when you do become incapacitated, the people that care about you the most, the people that think like you, that would make decisions like you, are there legally in authority to make those decisions with the correct documentation in hand when they talk to the doctor, when they talk to APS, when they talk to any facility that requires your authorization, that person, whether it be your son, your daughter, your wife, to make those decisions for you. So estate planning is not just about distributing your assets when you die. It's a lot about making sure that you're taken care of during a period of incapacity. How many people are going to go incapacitated before they die? Do you know the statistic on that?
Oh, I can't remember, but it's such a high number, I put it out of my mind.
It's over 70%.
Yeah.
Over 70% of us will go through a period of incapacity. So whether it's a car accident that causes the incapacity or whether it's a long-term illness like dementia, Alzheimer's, right, Parkinson's, something like that, then we want somebody who we love and trust. And sometimes I have people come in and sit in my office, and when I ask them that question, who do you want to make decisions on your behalf? They say, I don't know. I don't have anybody. And I say, well, listen, this is something we're going to highlight. Now, we're not going to stop the interview here. We're going to go through the rest and continue the outline, and it'll be 95% complete. And that 5% right there is going to be a really important 5%. That decision needs to be made because no matter who you choose, I guarantee it's going to be better than who the court chooses for you, right? That's your option. It's not if somebody is going to serve on your behalf. It's just whether or not you had any input in it.
Right.
And so we highly encourage you to find that person that thinks like you and that will be able to step up and take that role. And we just don't like the government intervening in people's lives. So my clients come in because they want to have that peace of mind of knowing where their property is going to go when they pass away, knowing how to organize and manage their property while they're alive, and keeping the government at bay. Now, for most of us, the government doesn't know, and I don't have some inside knowledge as to how often they check your bank accounts, but they don't check what your wealth is on a regular basis. Obviously, your income is checked on an annual basis for IRS purposes, but what you've accumulated and what you have, the government that I know of is not looking in and auditing you every year about that. And we can continue that process with a trust because you don't have to go through the probate process and disclose what assets you have in a public forum where now it's disclosed not only to the government, but to anybody else that looks into that issue. So we want, trusts are for people that want to keep their private information, their bank accounts, their investments, who their beneficiaries are, what percentage they'll be receiving, at what's the criteria for the receipt of the gift, all of that private. That's what trusts do. Now, on the opposite side here, there does need to be exposure to certain things, and that is to people that are represented. Now, in a trust, the beneficiaries have to get the full copy of the trust to make sure that it's being properly managed by the trustee, the manager of the trust.
Right.
We, the people, we want to see the election results. We want to see an audit of how the numbers came about. And we want to put in, we want our representatives to put in safeguards to make sure that the irregularities, and that's a nice way of putting it, that occurred during the election doesn't happen again. Regardless of whether it's to our favor or to the opposing party's favor, we want to make sure that it's a free and fair election, fair being emphasized here. So that we just talked about that there were 74 mail-in ballots, 74,000 mail-in ballots that came in above the amount of mail-in ballots that were requested. So that's an issue. You and I were talking off the air just to kind of put this in perspective here, how much that is. In all of Yuma County, not the city of Yuma, all of Yuma County, counting Somerton, San Luis,
Roll,
right? Gila Bend, all of those areas are included in Yuma County. If we put all those together, how many people vote during the election? How many voted?
We had just under 70,000 for the presidential candidates.
So in that one statistic, 74,000 additional unaccounted for mail-in ballots, that would negate all of Yuma County.
Yep.
How does that make you feel?
That's pretty massive fraud.
Right?
Yeah.
That one statistic alone, and they haven't completed this.
And those are the numbers I'm most interested in because those are the easiest ones to determine.
Yeah. Why have those mail-in
ballots? Why do you have 74,000 ballots more than what you mailed out?
Yeah. So that's one of them. Okay.
Yeah.
The other one is that nearly 12,000 is 11,326 people who were not on the voter rolls as of November 7th. Okay. Not on the voter rolls as of November 7th, voted, and their votes were counted in this election.
Yeah. That's enough to change the that's enough to change the outcome.
Yeah. So again, putting things in perspective, we just talked about how those mail-in ballots would have negated all of Yuma County. Well, the election,
Biden won by 10,300.
There you go. And just over 10,000, and we have over 11,000 that voted that were not registered.
Right. Right. That would have changed. You know, that number could change. Of course, we don't know who those 11,000 people voted for.
That's why they want to do canvassing.
Yes.
But the Department of Justice has halted their ability to canvass.
Yeah, but that needs to go through the courts because the Department of Justice is actually partisan.
It is partisan.
Yeah.
And that's ironic that this partisan department is saying, no, you can't go out and verify whether or not those people who sent in those mail-in ballots actually asked for them or why they got them. We're not even asking who they're voted for.
Correct.
We're not probing into the exact, like the private information. We're just saying, listen, you voted. How did you get that mail-in ballot? And trying to verify why these anomalies occurred. We're coming up on a break here. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Labor is a two-way street. First, it's earned. Second, it's paid. In the air conditioning business, it just went up 10% again. I tell my techs, let homeowners know about the York factory parts and labor warranties. An out-of-warranty AC part costs many times more than yesterday's AC parts did. Ask your AC tech about our York extended factory labor warranties.
Give Air Central a call or just log on to acyuma.com.
Contest rules for all giveaways and contests on 560 KBLU can be viewed and downloaded at our website, KBLUAM.com.
Tune in each weekday morning for the Fox News Rundown, brought to you by Yuma International Airport. Fly Yuma and experience convenience, comfort, short TSA lines, and multiple daily direct flights to Phoenix and Dallas-Fort Worth. Fly Yuma, and when you're home, you're home.
Ronnie's Pizza, proudly serving the best in East Coast style pizzas and hoagies in Yuma for over 41 years. Ronnie's is the home of the Philadelphia cheesesteak and the 28-inch party pizza since 1980. They've been using recipes that have been handed down for three generations. Come try a cheesesteak sandwich, stromboli, and of course, our famous pizza. Call 782-6842, visit us at 2059 South Avenue A, or check us out at Ronnie's Pizza Official on Facebook. God bless, and thank you all, Yuma, from Ronnie's Pizza.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. We do estate planning. We only do estate planning. We don't do election audits. Cyber Ninjas sounds like an awesome company, and I would love to be affiliated, but I'm not. I just want to talk about their audit that they've done on just the Maricopa County portion of the election. So when we're talking about these numbers, they're big, big numbers. They're right. Numbers that would sway the election easily, any one of these numbers. But we have to keep in mind perspective. Now, of course, Maricopa County is the largest county in the state, but it's not the only county. And here out in Yuma, they think that perhaps we don't count sometimes, but we do. We do count, and our votes should be counted.
We've made differences, yes.
And when 74,000 mail-in ballots that never got requested come in and are counted, that totally offsets all of Yuma County. That's cause for alarm. But that's not the only number. There are some other numbers here. 11,326 people voted who were not on the voting rolls. Now, there are some other discrepancies here, okay, that look bad. For example, one of those discrepancies is that 18,000 people were removed from the voting rolls right after they voted. And that looks funny. That looks suspicious, okay? But it's not in itself wrong.
Well,
There's nothing wrong about that per se. It's not illegal to vote and then say, you know what, I want to be removed from the registration.
But I can't imagine it happening. Look, we just finished a vote, and they're busy tabulating, they're busy doing a lot of things. It's not the time to sit down and do the maintenance of removing voters.
And usually, it actually takes a bit to get yourself removed from a voting roll.
So I'd want to talk to those people in that office and find out, you know, why.
So those 18,000, I possibly have a legitimate reason,
maybe
every single one of them, for getting their names proactively removed from the voting rolls right after the election happened.
But to get to go to the government to do anything in a hurry is impossible. How did that happen?
How did that happen is the question. But the other thing is 11,300 people, 1,000 more than decided the election, were not actually registered voters, and this is just Maricopa County. This is not Pima County. This is not Yuma County. This is not Cochise County. And then in addition to that, nearly 4,000, so 3,981 people were counted voting who registered after October 15th. Now, the deadline to register, it's a state law that you've got to register to vote a month before the election.
Yep.
And so they had to have voted at least the last and absolute final date to register was October 5th. So what Cyber Ninjas did, I don't know why they actually gave him an extra 10 days. Perhaps they just wanted to say, listen, these are the parameters. We're looking for some real disparities here. And so they said, let's mark it at October 15th. And they counted that nearly 4,000 people as of October 15th were not registered and yet still counted their votes. All of those cause some great questions to come in. So what we need to do now is we need to say, okay, fine. How did this happen? And the only way to really do it, we need to see the routers, which does not contain any personal information. It does not. It doesn't even contain whether or not you wanted to get a coronavirus vaccine, which is what apparently the people that want to protect this information are saying you can't. You can't disseminate this. It doesn't contain health records. It doesn't contain criminal records. It doesn't contain financial records. It doesn't contain tax records. It doesn't contain any of that private information that they are alleging is the reason for not turning over the routers, for the reason that they are in contempt of court right now, because there's a court order saying, yes, there's a legitimate reason that the router should be turned over, and yes, it's within the Senate's authority to subpoena those routers. The Board of Supervisors is saying, no, we're not going to do it. We can snub our nose at the court, at the justice system, with no repercussion.
Oh, get it.
And so in a router, think of it this way. And this is the way that the CEO of Cypress, this is one of the subcontractors for auditing. What they did is they audited the actual technology and how it works on these voting machines and the routers, and they said, this is how a router works. So for me, it really helped because I'm not a big tech guy, and maybe for a lot of our listeners, this would help too. Routers, that's that little box that generally sits, you know, in your closet or somewhere. It's not your computer, but it's hooked up to your computer, and what it does is it sends messages out. When you email, it sends a message to the recipient saying, hey, there's a message here for you to receive. And it makes a record that the message was sent. And then it shows what time and date that message was sent. That's it. It doesn't, it's like an envelope. When I mail somebody some information, I want the content, the letter inside that envelope, to be held confidential. But on the envelope, I put the address of the person that's to receive it. And then I also put a return address on that envelope in case something happens in the mail or, you know, the address that I'm sending it to is wrong, so it can be sent back to me. The mail carriers see that, right? And it's not as if they are reading my mail. They're not sorting through and going through the correspondence that I'm sending my loved one or whoever else. They are just seeing the address on it, and they're delivering it to the mailbox. Now, that information is all we want to see.
That's it.
Who did these things get sent out to? And were there other third-party companies or organizations that received information specifically during the election that should not have received it? They have a very targeted piece of information that they want to look for on these routers. They don't want to look and get into everybody's business. They don't want to look and see what you're the last time you got a mole removed was, right? Even if that information was on there, that's not what they're looking for. They're telling the courts very specifically, during the election period, we want to see who the information was sent out to and by whom and what information was received back in on those routers. That's all we want to see. And the court says, yeah, you can see that. Obviously, you got to see that to make sure that it was a fair election. And the Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County, Democratic Party, not allowing that to happen, snubbing their nose at the court, and by doing so, at the rule of law, for not allowing this audit to happen. What could be a just reason? What could be a legitimate reason for not allowing this audit to continue?
None. To me, except non-logical.
Except that you don't want the true results to be revealed. Right. That you want to continue this cancel culture that anybody that would even suggest that the election wasn't fair is a conspiracy theorist and is a wacko and is a crazy. And not only should that theory be dispelled, but any other theory that they come up with should be dispelled because they're crazies. And we can't perpetuate this theory. And even in a free society where speech is protected, we have to actually silence that thought. It's mind-boggling to me. Another issue that came up is they said, listen, we have these abnormalities, okay? This is just in the preliminary results of the audit. What do we need to do to verify that the abnormalities are maybe not somehow justifiable, okay? Because there could be some reasons,
right?
And who knows why, but we don't know. So the only way they could see whether or not the 74,000 ballots that came in that were never requested, that there was some reason for it. So what they want to do is canvassing. Now, what is canvassing, Russ? Because you've been in politics. You've gone through this whole process.
You just ask questions. You just go out to the voter, and you got a list of voters that you want to canvass. Just knock on the door, and you have, mind if I ask you a few questions?
So what type of questions? Because I don't want some government official knocking on my door unless there's a real legitimate cause that's going to perpetuate my freedom in the future.
Legally, they can't ask you who you voted for. So that wouldn't be there.
So they wouldn't ask who I voted for?
No.
Okay.
But they can ask you if you received a ballot or if you did vote. That's
public
information.
Or if I requested a ballot.
Right.
Right?
That's all.
So they would say, did you request a mail-in ballot?
It's just good customer service, buddy. It's just making sure everything's working.
So they can ask if I requested a ballot.
Yeah.
And if I didn't, and a mail-in ballot was used...
Did you receive one, and did you mail it in? You could ask those.
Okay.
That's all legitimate.
And so... Me, I want to be stand up and counted as voted. They hand out those stickers when you go voting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And they even mail them out in the mail-in ballots.
They do.
And when I mailed in my ballot, because I didn't go vote in person, I put that sticker on.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that it goes across party lines. I don't think that's a Republican thing to do. I don't think it's a Democrat thing
Shouldn't
to do.
Shouldn't be.
It's a responsible citizen's thing to do. And we like to stand up and say, yes, we voted. But what they're saying is this canvassing is going to breach their personal privacy.
That's a stretch.
By asking if they voted.
It doesn't.
We're coming up on a break here. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hope lives here in California. But during these challenging times, we could all use a little extra support. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 emotional support resources or call our warm line at 1-833-317-4673.
Summer heat is on the way. Time to check or replace your air conditioning system. This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. Yes, new systems are still 30 to 40% more efficient than a unit 10 years old. So call Quick Refrigeration, your trusted technician, keeping you cool since 1955. Also, experts in plumbing and tankless water heaters. Don't wait until your AC system goes down. Call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
Quick refrigeration, we get you cool quick.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros have been serving Arizona for over 20 years, and we're here to remind you that, yeah, we got tires for that. We also do alignments, brakes, oil changes, AC work, inspections, preventive maintenance, and more. Get your tires at any of our four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations, or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com to choose the perfect tire, or make your appointment. Free pickup and drop-off for a hassle-free experience. Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros. Yeah, we got tires for that.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by Deason, Garner, and Hanson, the law firm that has been voted Yuma's best 6 years in a row.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hanson. We do estate planning. If you want to learn more about estate planning, a lot of people have the conception out there that if they don't have wealth, meaning a large house, a big portfolio with their investments, expensive cars, those types of things, that they don't need estate planning because estates are for the wealthy individuals. Let me tell you, nearly every adult out there has an estate. And the responsible thing for adults to do is to make sure that their estate doesn't end up in a state of chaos when they pass away, or that they individually aren't left to the court's hands to determine who's going to be making decisions for them if they get into a car accident or become incapacitated because of an illness, cancer, or, you know, heart attack or a seizure or any number of diseases.
Old age,
right?
There you go.
You know, we're all mortal. And so the responsible thing to do is to, number one, you want peace of mind to know that your planning is in order, and number two, that your loved ones don't have this burden placed on their shoulder to be scrambling about fighting against the system to make decisions for you that you would want them to be making. And that's what estate planning does. So it's not just for the wealthy, it's for responsible adults, especially adults with children who don't want their children to be fought over if the parents were to pass away,
between in-laws.
And have the court ultimately decide where the children go. They want to make a plan for who is going to be the guardian over our children. And you can make in an estate plan, you can divvy it up. You can say, listen, my brother is responsible with finances, but he's terrible with kids. However, I'm talking to my wife, your sister is great with kids, but not hot on the financial aspect, all right? So the sister can be named as a guardian. The brother can be named as the conservator or the trustor of the assets where the trust assets are going to reside. And so we can have the best of both worlds. We can have the individual that is caring and can take the children to school and read to them stories at night, be there for the kids, and the individual that can put their money in an investment that's going to earn a reasonable rate of return as they age to maturity and then are entitled to receive and manage their own inheritance, can do that. So that's what estate planning does. If you want to learn more about it, go to yuma.law. It can't be easier. Yuma.law. If you type in yuma.law, you'll go to our website. And on our website, there's a very prominent feature for our video to play. It takes about a half an hour for you to learn the ins and outs of estate planning. It talks about power of attorney. It talks about a will. So if you just want a will and that's all you think you need, that's great. Go learn about what a will does, how it comes into effect, how it's created validly. And that video is free. And we won't censor it.
I like free ones. Yeah.
So getting back to verifying the people that have voted and making sure that we've got these fair elections. Now, Georgia went through this big issue where they wanted to have an audit, and there was a fight against it for a long time that the audit wasn't necessary. What they wanted to do is have people look at the signatures on the actual ballots and try to match them to the signatures that they had on register to see whether or not they matched. Now, that's a really flimsy way of validating.
But that's a required way.
It is currently, right? And I think those laws are pretty antiquated, and it's because before, everybody had a photo ID, and maybe they didn't have it easily accessible, or maybe it was seen to be discriminatory because some minorities weren't as likely to have a photo ID as, say, majority Caucasian individuals. Maybe that was a reason to only require a signature. And I could see that when that was the issue. But now you've got an ID if you're an adult, right? If you're a responsible person, if we're going to rely on you to help us choose who our representatives are, whether they be state legislatures, Senate members or members of Congress or the President of the United States, asking you to show up with your license doesn't seem to me to be onerous.
Well, It's the only way to get on an airplane or to
right
open up a checking account.
I can't rent a car without showing my license. Mm-hmm. I can't drive my car legally without having photo ID validation that I have my license. In fact, even if you've got your license, I got a ticket for this one time. Mm-hmm. I was driving, and I got pulled over, and I showed proof that I had a license. I showed it on my phone, and I showed proof that I had insurance. I showed it on my phone. They took the insurance because the insurance is simply information.
Right.
But you actually have to carry your license on you, and I showed them a picture of my license on my phone.
They arrest you?
They didn't arrest me. The officer was a nice guy, but he said, listen, it is required that you carry a license, and so I am going to issue you a ticket for not carrying your license. And so I got a ticket, and it was like $100. And so we don't.
Was that in this state?
Yeah, it was on 4th Avenue.
Wow.
It was going home from work.
Wow.
And so I got a ticket for not carrying my license. And so, you know, I paid the fine, and that was that. But here we're talking about something that is incredibly valuable to how our society is run. The freedom and the maintenance of our freedom by representatives that we entrust to uphold the laws. We want the people that vote for them to show ID. Now, in the For the People Act that is trying to be passed by the Democrats, and it did pass the House, it didn't pass the Senate, and that's where the Democrats were getting very angry with Kristen Sinema because she would not only vote for that, but she would not vote to get rid of the filibuster.
Well, that's the whole big thing, is the filibuster.
And so they said, we want to cram this through, and we don't want to go through the regular process that we've been using for 100 years to get a law passed. We want to cram it through, and we want to take away the state's rights, their constitutional rights, to determine how elections should be run. And right. We want to give a federal mandate, a federal law, about how elections should be run. And in that, they want to allow same-day registration for voters. They want to require that you cannot request a photo identification to vote.
They want ballot harvesting to be legal.
They want ballot harvesting. All these things that lead and allow for fraud to come in.
It would be a free-for-all.
And so this resonates so closely with me as an estate planning attorney, because what we do is we take certain steps to ensure that fraud does not occur. Because when we're going to administer estate, the most important witness is dead. And so what we have to do is we have to take certain formalities, take certain procedures that we get their signature and we notarize it. And we notarize it by looking at an ID, a photo ID, right, saying, yeah, you're the actual one signing this trust or this will or this power of attorney or whatever it is. There are state laws in every state that say that you have to have your power of attorney notarized. And so if you have to have a power of attorney notarized and a notary requires photo identification, why don't you have to show a photo ID to vote?
Well, I think the notary even puts a license number down in their books.
Yes.
That they looked at the ID, the license number is this, and they put it in the book
and their address
for records.
That was on the license, yes. Yeah. Not just show it, but they actually have to keep it. And if they don't keep their notary log, then that notary is deemed to be invalid.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
And so it's a log of all of that. This is just to get basic documents that all of us accept. These are steps to prevent fraud. We don't want somebody out there creating a power of attorney that says that they can act on our behalf and not have done it validly. And so we understand this concept. This has been very well embraced by all parties, except now when it comes down to election, it's all of a sudden a partisan issue.
Right.
That only people that are conspiracy theorists are the ones that want this photo ID, and they want it for either some type of nefarious reasons to rig the elections or to discriminate, and of course to pull the racial card out there and we're racist. How is it racist? It's just as easy for any legitimate citizen, any citizen that should be registered to vote, to get a photo ID if you're black or if you're white.
And I think
or
every
if
state
Hispanic
offers it free too. I mean, it's free in all these states, you know, because that whole discrimination, well, black people can't afford $10. Well, then it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I want it to be free and I want it to be fair, but
yeah.
Goodness gracious, to show a photo identification, it scares me that we're relying on this antiquated method of signature verification, because my signature is not the same twice. And I guarantee it's not. It's just that signatures don't work
that
way.
Shame on you.
And so this whole signature verification is out of date.
You just sit down and practice penmanship.
Okay, we're running up on... Actually, this is all this the time we have for the hour. Yeah, so things to think about... This is Life, Death, and the Law, 560 AM, KBLU.
If discussed today, please call the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hanson at 928-783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.